It's good to see everybody. I know we have got some, there are hardcore people here this way. The one thing I want to ask us, and I'm on microphone, not that you guys are there, they're all of us here, but because I want to record it and put it online each week. One thing, as we talk about, we get into this series, I want to ask you a sort of a simple question. And sort of keep, as we go, because at the end of this message, I'm going to have you write down a list of things. What are you fearful of? What are you flat out scared of? I could write a book. That's why I've been having trouble with this series, because I deal with fear on a fairly ongoing, everyday basis, one way or another. My age, will I have enough? What's going to happen to the kids? Is my cat going to come back at night? It is a big one. It is a big one, right? Is Boomer really going to spend the night out all night long? No, but is Katie, when Katie leaves, is she going to be okay in L.A.? Things like this. There's all kinds of fear in our everyday life. Forget about the world situation. It's just a very personal thing. The interesting thing, and we're on a series, we're going to do 3 weeks on it, starting this week. It's called Fear, a Major Sin Trigger. It can trigger sin in our lives almost more than anything else. Now, there are a lot of reasons we're in sin, a lot of reasons we sin, right? We're born into it, and because of Jesus Christ, we are saved and redeemed out of sin, and yet we sin every day, don't we? Well, I do anyway, but it's something we deal with every single day. So there's a lot to do with our flesh, and we'll get into a little more of details about what sin really is next week and the week after. But this particular week is about fear. How many times does fear or the fear not, does it say in the Bible? How many times? 365. That's one a day. That's one every day. God made it clear. He had to tell us at least once a day about fear, or particularly fear not. He was saying, please, fear not, fear not. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He said it over and over again. God seems to be telling us all the time for centuries. And as we read the word today, Jesus continues to tell us today. Even way back at the beginning of the Old Testament, there was an interesting thing here, where we say, fear not, and don't be afraid, and really, I'm here with you, encourage you, and be of good courage, and be strong. But there was good fear in the Old Testament. Remember that. Fear of the Lord. In Proverbs, it says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Here it is. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. So, sometimes I was talking to a friend just last week about fear of the Lord. What is that? Fear. Oh, God's going to smite me. He smote me yesterday, so he's going to smite me today, and he's going to smite me tomorrow. Is that a type of thing that's going to happen? Not necessarily. But the awe, God is a pretty amazing God. He could crisp us if we want, just a pile of dust if we want. Well, that's one way to look at it. But for me, it's the awe, the wonder, the, oh my gosh. And one more step for me personally, and I'm not sure where, I'm sure there's plenty of scripture, and I'm encouraged by scripture when I say this. My fear of the Lord is being without him. That gives me real fear. The fear of the Lord, or the fear of not being with him. That's scary. That's a different kind of fear. Proverbs says this, the fear of God is a spring of living water, so you won't go off drinking from poisoned wells. I love that. And yet God had to tell his even his Old Testament people long before Jesus came, and Jesus was face to face telling people, don't be afraid, don't fear. Face to face, disciples, disciples, raising his eyes. I'm sure he I'm sure he rolled his eyes a number of times. Peter, oh Peter, oh Peter, oh Peter. You know, oh my, John, I love you. You're a good boy. You're a good guy. Peter, oh my gosh. You know, put the fear of God into Peter a couple of times. You know, but even in the Old Testament, way back when, if you know of a guy named Joshua, we know Joshua, right? Joshua was Moses, basically his warrior leader, his general. He wasn't his second guy. I guess Aaron would be that, his second in command. But Joshua was the go-to guy. Hey, Joshua, go tear down that wall, kill all those people, go. And Joshua would go, right? So he saw it all. Joshua left. He was there for 40 years. He left Egypt with Moses and the children of Israel, saw all the glory and the wonder and the miracles of the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea, the killing of that, the manna coming down, all these miracles of God laying on Moses. And Joshua was right there. And towards the very end, they're getting, after 40 years, they're getting ready to cross the Jordan River into the land of milk and honey, all this blessing and everything. And what happened? Moses puts Joshua in charge. And the entire first chapter of Joshua, God is talking to him. And now get this. I mean, God himself is talking to Joshua. It's not like some, you know, Aaron saying, hey, God talked to me today and he wanted me to tell you this. God himself is talking to Joshua, and he spends, oh gosh, how long was the conversation? Probably 2 hours. He spent an hour and a half talking to Joshua. That's the gospel according to my translation personally, about hours. But he was saying, Joshua, don't be scared. Joshua, don't worry. Be encouraged. Be of good faith. Do not fear. Joshua, you're the man. This is God talking to you, by the way. So God must have known Joshua himself was a fearful guy. He was scared. He'd been following Moses for I don't know how many years before they left, 40 years in the desert. But the thing is, he'd seen all these amazing miracles, and he still had fear. He questioned his faith. Fear can do that. Fear can question your faith. Now, this is the thing. I heard a wonderful pastor recently talk about this. And he talked about, because my idea is faith is belief in things unseen. And that's good. That's a good, solid belief in things unseen. But James said an interesting thing. It's also belief in things unseen, but that have evidence of truth. That goes a little further. That, to me, makes me go, ooh, I better strap up my boots. I better mature a little bit here. What does that mean? What is of evidence of truth? Joshua had plenty of evidence, man. His faith should have been solid as a rock. Well, my gosh. Bread came down from heaven. Our clothes are still in great shape. We've got, you know, hipster clothes, and our desert boots are fine still. And our beards are really cool looking, and we ride one-speed bicycles through the desert. No, but he saw all these miracles, right? He saw every one of them. So his faith should have been, wow, maxed out. What happens? God knows, Joshua. God knows as human beings. God knows us and loves us. And so he says over and over, once a day in the Bible, don't fear. He even says, Joshua, have good courage. Be encouraged. And in the first, this is the first chapter of Joshua, let alone, and then after, if you get a chance, read Joshua. I love Joshua. Joshua is a great guy, great book. But in the first chapter is all this encouraging and miraculous speaking. And in Joshua 1:9, he says this. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua It seems to me, as I read Joshua, he still struggled a little bit off and on in the rest of the book. He would fail. Well, that's encouraging to me because I fail all the time, especially in my fear. Fear comes back up. It's a human condition. It's a natural condition for us to be fearful. It really is. Jane and I were talking about Adam and Eve, and we were, you know, sort of, you know, I don't know where it would be absolutely in the Bible, but we were brainstorming and thinking, well, maybe they were fearful was why Eve took the, you know, bought in on the temptation by the serpent. They were fearful maybe because they didn't know enough. Maybe she was, they were scared that they didn't really know the truth that needed to be known. Maybe that's what part of it. That scares me. Do I know enough? You know? So here's the thing. Fear is a major trigger for sin. It's not the only one. Our flesh is another trigger just because we're flesh. But fear is a major trigger. So who else was did God have to encourage and tell, hey, we're doing miraculous things here, and I'm showing up big time, and, you know, big glow, angels are going to show up. And the first things they said, do not fear. You know, Mary, the mother of Jesus. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth. I mean, one of the big dogs. He didn't send, like, you know, Peppy, you know, Peppy, the good angel. He's a funny guy. No, he sent one of the big dogs, Gabriel, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Now try to put yourself in that. You're in a room, maybe just getting ready for bed or something. I don't know, washing your face, putting Pond's cold cream on your face, loofahing or something, and boom, there's Gabriel in your room, boom. And he said, "The Lord is with you, Mary." Confused and disturbed, putting it lightly, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." Had to, you know, knew Mary was going to be scared. Put yourself in that situation. What did they say? She was like 15, maybe 17, tops. Oh, man. All of a sudden, God shows up and said, you're pregnant, by the way. You've never had sex, but you're pregnant. But this is what it is. Don't be afraid. That would challenge me. Well, especially it would challenge me because I'm not a girl. But also, the next day or two later, I guess, it happened with Joseph. Her betrothed, the guy she was going to marry. It says this in Matthew. While he was trying to figure out a way out, because he had already figured out, he had heard that Mary was pregnant, and immediately he got scared. He said, "Oh man, what am I going to do with this? Let's figure this out. Maybe I'll put her away until the baby's born." Oh man, what's going on? What's going on? I don't know. While he was trying to figure a way out, he had a dream. God's angel spoke in the dream, "Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth, and when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus. God saves, because he will save his people from their sins." Don't hesitate. That's where the language changes. In the message, it says, don't hesitate. But in a lot of the other versions, it says, do not fear. Don't fear. Go ahead, Joseph. Don't be scared to take this woman as your wife. Man, the mother and father of Jesus were scared. We're in good company. You know, we really are. Joshua, Moses, hey, everybody. Listed all and down the way. Peter, everybody you want to come in contact with that made an impact for God. Fear. It's a motivating thing in our lives here. Jesus even said it. So we're going forward, and he said to his partners, now let me set the scene here. He's walking along the seashore, and he sees these guys out in a boat, and he says, hey, now these guys are pros. These are pro fishermen. These aren't guys just out there for on the weekend drinking a lot of Budweiser's and getting, not catching any. No, this is how they make their living, right? They make their living on the boat. So Jesus is walking there. Now, they'd heard about this guy and maybe seen him once in a while preach or something, but they're fishermen, gruff, smelly, out in the boats all day long. They've been out all night. And Jesus looks out and says, hey, listen, why don't you go over there and cast your nets on the other side of the boat? And Peter, of course, I could just see him go, okay. There must have been a moment in time that said, well, how does he know? I know, I'm a fisherman. I've been fishing this water for years and years. What does he know? But he knows enough to go, okay, we'll give it one more try. And what goes on is huge catch where the all of a sudden they can't, their nets are breaking. They can't hold all the fish. And they get a bit concerned. They get taken by fear. And Jesus said, Peter's partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed, or were also kind of freaked out a bit. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for men. From now on, you'll be fishing for men. And your nets will be overflowing. Amen. Don't be afraid. He told Peter right then and there, first time, hey, how you doing, guy? I'm Jesus. Good to meet you. Don't be afraid. God knows, huh? He's also, see, the fear that we succumb to is often in the midst of the miraculous. That's the crazy thing. Fish, they're huge in a net. The next one in Luke, Jesus says this. Yeah, the setting is this. They're in a storm on the same lake here. Big storm, and they're getting swamped over. And Jesus is in the front of the boat asleep. So he wakes up and says to his disciples, he asks them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Haven't I given you enough examples of the miraculous that I can do what I say I'm doing? I'm not crazy. I'm actually God on earth. Maybe he hasn't asked that yet. But he says, where is your faith? The disciples were terrified and amazed. Who is this man? They asked each other. Well, let me step back. Before he said, where is your faith? He had stopped the storm. He had completely calmed the waves. He said, yelled at the storm, or spoke to the storm, and calmed the waves. And they were like, ashen. And then Jesus said, where's your faith? Why does this surprise you? The disciples were terrified and amazed. Who is this man? They asked each other, when he gives a command, even the wind and waves obey him. Whew. Jesus saying, come on. Don't be afraid, you're with me. Going further, there's another story about Jairus, who was one of the Jewish leaders, and his daughter was dying. And he came, he sent his servant to Jesus and said, Jesus, please, come. Jairus is praying and asking you to come and heal his daughter. He doesn't. He continues, he says, well, I'll come. But he hesitates. He teaches some more. And during that time, Jairus' daughter dies. It's kind of a bummer because you believe enough to ask Jesus into your home to save, to heal your dying daughter. And instead, Jesus didn't make it. So Jesus finally does come to Jairus' house, and he says to his disciples, say, don't bother Jesus. The girl is dead. And he says, hey, don't worry, she's only sleeping. yeah, right. Some people that were in the house around Jairus in his neighborhood, his neighbors, they even laughed when Jesus said, she's just sleeping. And then Jesus said this to this grieving man. Jesus overheard his neighbors speaking to Jairus, and said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. Isn't this interesting that each thing that we're talking about, everything fear challenges our faith. Fear challenges our faith. Just sort of, it's a connection that doesn't go away. Jesus, again in Luke, says this, turning to his disciples, this is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. And this scripture always confuses me. Always confuses me. He says, wait a minute. Why? He tells me not to worry about everyday life. He goes on, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. I'm going, what? This always confuses me. For life is more than food and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens, Jesus said. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any birds. Now, that always makes me say, well, I can just float around, maybe just eat some seeds. You know, makes me think I don't have to worry about, providing for my family or providing for myself. That is not what Jesus is saying. Jesus saying is don't be so overwhelmed by those processes of supporting yourself that you get so scared that your faith takes your eyes off of God. And everything is concentrated on this. I got to provide. I got to provide. I got to buy clothes. I got to have a car. I got to do this. I got to do this. Those are all important things. But don't get me wrong. It's not that you don't have to do anything because Jesus is going to provide for it. No, it isn't that. He's saying just don't put that first. That's the whole series thing about fear. Don't put fear first. Yeah, we're going to go through it. Joshua, every biblical character you can name, every single David, every one of them dealt with fear and got scared. And they had to be encouraged. Don't be fearful. Do not be afraid. Philippians, St. Paul put it this way, in such a wonderful way. Philippians 4, he says, don't worry about anything. In other words, don't be scared about all the things you have to deal with. But pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks for what you have. And because you belong to Christ Jesus, God's peace will stand guard over all your thoughts and feelings. His peace can do this far better than our human minds. That's what he's doing. He's encouraging us to stay connected with God. So lots and lots of scriptures, there's lots more, and we're going to get into some more detail on it next week, where the sin connection, where the fear happens, and instead faith is questioned and cut in half, and then sin is just around the corner going, hey, the way to get out of this fear is this. When I'm afraid, I tend to make bad choices. That's where it goes. I get scared. I make bad choices. I'm looking to protect myself. My fight or flight mechanism clicks in, right? I'm scared. I better protect myself. Will I have enough? Will I be important enough to make a difference? Will I have enough power to get what I want or what I need? All these things make you scared if you question it. I, will I do this? Will I have enough? Will I have enough? As soon as I spend all this time talking about me, I'm taking my eyes off my provider. And we do it all the time. I'm not telling you anything new. I'm not saying anything that is weird and, oh my gosh, well, you shouldn't do that. You're not a very good human being. No, I am a human being. That's why I struggle with it. It's a natural thing. I tend to say, it's a natural situation we're in. With Jesus, we have a supernatural power to work with. Thank you, Lord. I have a couple examples of my own, you know. How you doing? Have a seat. A couple examples on my own. When I was in Europe, and you might have heard this before, I was in Europe gigging. In the south of France, Saint-Tropez, and we had a couple of days off, so we all packed, my band packed into a little car, we rented a car, and drove about 3 hours to Nice, this beautiful city right on the Riviera. Beautiful, wonderful, wonderful city. Love it, love it, love it. Gorgeous. You know, went to dinner, you know, had a really nice time in there. And it was late in the day. So then when we all packed in, I was driving this little Renault or something, a little GoFat. Now, the roads on the south of France, there are no lights. There are no buildings from the between Nice, and it goes to Saint-Raphaël, another French fries, something through it. But these towns are a number of miles away, and no lights between them. It's dark. You see your headlights, and that's it. And, I mean, and you see a little bit, you see the road marks, but there are no reflectors on the roads. You see a little bit on the outside, and you see them. It's two-lane highway, goes from ever to ever, goes from Spain to Turkey, you know, but all along the Mediterranean. So we're driving. It's about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and I'm with my band, this band that we're in. I'm driving, and way in the back, I see sort of lights come on in the rearview mirror. Way far back, way, just, I don't think much of it. So I'm driving, and we're going like about 80 miles an hour, you know, traveling, tooling, and it's pretty safe. It's late, no traffic, no nothing. And I'm not paying any attention to this thing. Then the next few minutes ago, I look up, and the lights are getting much closer. He's really traveling fast, and it's the blue police lights doing this. I freak. Now, look, let me put it in context. I'm an American. We're a rock band. This is 1974. We're a rock band from New York City. There is marijuana in the car. I'm sorry to say that. I'll have to repent later. I already did. Okay, thank you. But I know, I'm going, oh my gosh. We're in the south of France. Nobody speaks really fluent French. I'm going, holy cow, I'm never going to see my mom again. That's the first thing that comes to mind. I'm thinking, and I'm literally panic-stricken. And they're getting closer, and I'm slowing down. I'm going, what are we going to do? I'm starting to say, try to get rid of it, and they're throwing joints out the window, you know. But I'm thinking, all that stuff, you know. I'm going, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Nobody can speak the language. So I'm slowing down. I'm thinking, what? I had complete blank out. Fear just overwhelming me. He's getting closer and closer to me, and I'm slowing down. I'm not going 30 miles an hour or anything, or kilometers or whatever it is. But just as I'm getting ready to pull over a little bit further, I see this cop come close to me, and he whizzes by me and goes shooting down the road. He's not after me. You know how that fear just goes, and then all of a sudden, man, I needed a joint. But we'd all thrown them out the window. Thank God we've gotten rid of that. Oh, I don't think there was no pot in the band for at least, an hour or so. This was 74. This was before I met Jesus, and I don't do that now, of course. But the fear can just change your entire outlook, and then all of a sudden, you're fearful often for nothing. That's what I think God was talking about. The angels were talking about, don't fear, because there's really nothing to fear. Don't be scared. Don't let it shake your faith. And that's what we do. It's a natural thing. And Jesus can help us be supernatural, live a supernatural life, right? Okay? Roller coasters were the same way for me. When I was a kid, I'm never going on a roller coaster. No way. No way. I'd stand underneath it and just shake. All my friends were going on these roller coasters, especially the wood ones. Oh, forget it. Forget the wood ones. And then when the rail ones came out, I passed out. I stopped breathing and fell down. There was no way I was ever going to go on that. And then I became a youth pastor, and a couple of my nephews were in my youth group, and we would take them down to Six Flags down in San Jose, right? And go, and all they had all these rail roller coasters go upside down, flip out, and turn yourself inside out, and come out like this, and do all kind of and puke you out, and throw you into the next county, and kids throw you in the water and down 80 feet and up, you know, stuff like this. I'm going, I'll watch you guys. I'm your youth pastor. Bless you, my son. Bless you. Have a wonderful time, but. My nephews got into it with me. Said, "You chicken," and I had 40 other kids. And I'm going. He said, "Come on, you'll love it." So I go, "Oh man!" So this one was. Thank goodness it was a car on a rail. It wasn't. I wasn't going to do the wooden one. Forget the wooden one. You know, I'd break my back. And so I got in. Well, not in the front, not in the back. Just sort of in the middle. I'm going, "Oh," and I'm literally shaking. I'll be going, "Oh, guys." It takes off. And if you know about the rail roller coasters, they're real smooth. I got off of this roller coaster, and I said, that changed my life. I loved roller coasters from then on. I went on every single roller coaster, including what? Including the wooden one. That's the wooden one, right? I didn't like that one that much, but still, after I had taken control of my fear, all roller coasters were sent from God. I mean, amazing. It changed my life. It literally changed my life. I couldn't believe it. Fear can blow a lot of things in your life. It can alter your perspective. See, this is the thing. Fear can become a false god, which we're going to talk about. It can become an idol. And we tend to worship it with complete and undying devotion. You know, sin, fear, sin, weakness, self-centered, all the things that can take us away from our eyes off of Jesus, off of God, can feed us. Something that we like. We like something about fear. That's why we go to scary movies. That's why we go on roller coasters. There's something visceral, something human, something physical in our lives that we sort of like. I like to say it as we're fed by something in fear. We like that flavor. It goes further. There's something in sin that we're drawn to. Someone a long time ago put it this way, the glamour of sin. Sin can be glamorous. Fear that drives us into sin and makes us sin, there's something, it's a drug, that we get something from it. If we didn't, we'd never have anything to do with it, would we? It's an idol. But this is the most important thing, and we're going to deal with it in the next few weeks. Our fears reveal where we do not trust God. You know? Do I trust God to help cover my daughter in L.A. when she moves and protect her? I don't know yet, be honest with you. That scares me. But I better, because she's going. So, where do I put my faith? My fears makes me wonder how my faith is. When fear is my God, or fear is your God, you start majoring in exterior sin management. It first starts, you know, you don't necessarily say, I need some sin management, but you definitely do. Especially us Christians. You slowly yet ultimately turn all of your attention to the things in other people that you're certain really tick God off. You know what? Let's sit down. We need to have a Jesus meeting. You're scared about something, aren't you? God doesn't. What? Scared of me, right? Right? And you make it. your sacred business to modify their behavior in the name of Jesus. It's just covering our own fears, often. If we can focus on somebody else, then we don't have to approach ourselves. We don't have to question the breakdown of our faith, that fear is overwhelming us. I mean, I've had trouble with this message for weeks, and this past week really under attack, and just because I'm a fearful guy. I really am, which is really strange for me. You know, my age, I'm getting older, I had a little trouble with my leg, I'm doing this, I don't feel as creative as I was when I was 14. You know, well, I don't quite understand. We'll wait for you. Hey, man, you want to get some coffee or something? We'll wait. Help yourself. Okay. We'll go. So, we really question, fear makes us question what we're about. You know, everything. And as soon as you let fear grab you for something and you start questioning your faith, is God good enough? Is God big enough? Is he enough to cover me? It covers everything. It goes to, can I, my money, and if I don't have enough, am I virile enough? Should I be looking at pornography? That will make me feel better, right? That won't, well, I'm fearful. Fear covers everything. Everything. Do I have enough gas? Is the car okay? Do I have enough money? Yeah, a lot of it's money. But I'm dealing with the fact is, am I creative enough? Have I lost my am I lost my musical gift? Have I lost my abilities to drive, you know, to drive through things like this? Strange things. What am I questioning when I question that? I'm questioning God's gift to me. Is he big enough? Was his gift pure enough? Was it really strong enough? Is that the same God that gave me that gift, that spoke the world into being, that calmed the seas and calmed the disciples, healed the blind and raised the dead? Is this the same God that I'm thinking can't provide my tires for my car? I tell you, I got to start praying more about that, you know. And this is the challenge. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to take a pen down and take a thing of paper and sort of write. Now this is a thing. We can, if you feel like sharing it with others, that's fine. If you don't feel like sharing it, that's fine too. But the thing is good to sort of let it be known either to the person next to you or to yourself or to me after or something. And if you feel like sharing it, we'll just go around, share it, take about 5 minutes and share it. But what are the things that you're most fearful about? That, here's the trick, that you have a tendency to take your eyes off of God. So remember, next week, we're going to talk about, you know, really how fear is this trigger for sin that gets us into a place of off the mark, sort of looking away from Jesus. Here's a very sort of a simple fix, and we're going to talk more about how next week and the week after. The simple fix is faith is choosing to. And Psalm 46:10 says this, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Hallelujah, it's true. Being still is hard to do sometimes in our lives now. But the thing we have to choose is knowing that he is God and we're not. And there's a second psalm. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. So let's take our fears to him. Let's take that list that you made, and every day, every morning, take this and offer it to God. And help have God identify why we have fear in those areas. And then let him pour into us a deeper well of faith that we can let go of those fears this week. And we're going to talk more next week, so let's pray. Da 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 da.